The Money Show.
Investment School.
Head teacher of the Investment School this evening is Justin Spencer Young. He is the author of The Secrets of Business Performance and Value Creation and lectures at business finance at the Gordon Institute of Business Science. On our Investment School this evening, we're talking about keeping our powder dry. For a lot of people, they don't have any powder, but let's assume we have some powder here, Justin. There's a little bit of money in our portfolio. We have money invested and we have some money on the side. This is the powder that you talk about, the cash on hand. Why do we need that?
Good evening, Bruce. That's exactly right. That's the little bit we have stashed on the sideline, hoping that we can deploy it, we might call it strategically at the right time, to perhaps eke out a little bit more than just an index return, perhaps.
Strategically, at the right time, perhaps. Now, those are three words. Strategically is something that not all of us can do. At the right time, very few of us can do. And the perhaps, I think, is absolutely critical here. I mean, there's a school of theory that says you simply just take your monthly deposit and you put it into your investments and you forget about it. You don't keep money on the sidelines. You stay fully invested all the time, rather than sitting on the sidelines waiting for opportunities to present themselves. What's wrong with that theory?
Yeah, I think that's a very good theory, being in the market. And if you're a retail investor, you're not a professional asset manager, and you don't have to think too much about it, leave it there, forget about it, and go on with your life and keep on contributing. That's fantastic. And you will get index returns, and hopefully the market will go up. Unfortunately, in South Africa for the last 8 years, it hasn't gone up. So that makes me think about how can I do better? Because at the moment, a 3% per annum dividend yield, which is about as much as the market is giving us, I'm starting to think I'm going backwards, and can I deploy my capital better?
Okay. So you've been doing this teaching of business finance for, I think, 2 decades or thereabouts. I don't want to age you in any way. I mean, you've got a fairly clear indication, I think, that South Africa's level of financial education is quite low, right?
That's exactly right, Bruce. It's quite saddening, in fact, because many students come through my classes and my job is to educate them in the financial ways of business and to some degree personal. And I ask the questions, the sort of the obvious questions that I expect some folks to know about investing their money. And many of them are quite ignorant. And that's not their fault. That's just the way financial education is taught in South Africa.
Or not.
Students are desperate for more information. They're like, please help me, Justin. Teach me something so that I can put my money to work, because I don't know enough about this.
And a lot of people have also been for a long time, and I think we've wised up to this idea. You might be on the company pension fund. You might have your own retirement annuity. And money kind of trickles in there. It goes to an amorphous place that you don't know the fund manager. You don't know the funds. You don't actually know how this money is being invested. You could learn if you chose to, but I don't think the vast majority of people actually engage to nearly the level they should when it comes to what is possibly the most important action they can take on a monthly basis with their money.
Bruce, you're spot on the money. You're dead right. And what I try to do with my students is I try to encourage them to take control of their own financial resources and their own investments. Because as you say, it's just going off their bank account into some pension fund and it's being managed. And what I like to encourage folks to do is to say, go and open your own brokerage account. Feel what it's like to invest your money, to hand it over. You might feel joy, but I guess you're probably going to feel a whole bunch of fear. What could go wrong here? And that's part of the learning, is to say, well, oh, wow, this is actually what happens here when I invest my money. Let me put it in the market. Now I'm going to watch to see what happens. So therefore, I better listen to Bruce Whitfield, because I'm going to learn some stuff there, and I'm going to educate myself not only in money, but how it feels to make this investment. And most folks haven't actually done that for themselves, and that's definitely a very important part of the learning.
The psychology is so interesting, isn't it? We're very happy for the monthly contribution to disappear out of our pay packet because it's not us. It's not our problem. It's our money for later. We don't have any control over it. Therefore, we don't feel any obligation to keep an eye on it. And I think that's the psychology of the pension fund payment. So we don't engage with the trustees. At the end of our work time or when we cash in our pension, we go, geez, that was rubbish. Why did I bother doing that? Well, it was obligatory. But you didn't participate in the process. You didn't engage in the process. You didn't keep an eye. You weren't an activist in your own interests, which is so self-defeating to my mind anyway.
It is a little bit self-defeating because you are, as you say, you're outsourcing it. And once you say, okay, I'm going to make this investment, I'm going to control my money, I'm going to put a little bit more into this, and then you start to think, okay, now I know what it's like to get no returns for.
Justin, Earth to Justin. We lost you. Sorry, we lost you there for a moment. Can you go back to the beginning of your thought process, if you wouldn't mind?
Yeah. So the piece here is that you learn what it's like when you're investing your money yourself and you realize that we've had 8 years of a sideways market. Now, before, you might have said, oh, these asset managers and these pension funds, they're useless. Look how poor my returns are, because you never took the time to look at the market and understand what's going on and now realize, oh, wow, because I'm invested here and I'm watching what's going on and I'm only getting 3%, how can I do better? How can I beat the market? One would never come up with those questions if it's not front of mind and if you've outsourced it. And then when you start thinking, how can I beat the market, then you start to acquire the skills, some more knowledge, speak to more people on how do I beat the market. Now, I'm going to suggest that's the hardest thing anyone is going to try to do, because even the pros battle to do that consistently.
Precisely.
But that doesn't mean it's not worth trying to do.
Now, okay, in real terms, how much money should we be apportioning to our efforts to beat the market? If, say, we're getting 1,000 rand a month going into a pension fund, I hope it's a lot more than that, but just for simplicity's sake, should we be putting an additional 100 into markets ourselves? Say, take 10% more than's going into our pension fund and be applying that into either a mix of exchange-traded funds, unit trusts, or directly into shares, and trying to then seek alpha, as they call it, or outperform the average.
So, Bruce, I'm going to say, let's assume you're contributing to your pension fund. I don't want this at all to be, oh, let's stop doing that and let me take control of this myself.
No, absolutely not. This is additional money.
Don't stop what you're doing. We're going to do this. Yes, we're going to do this in addition to. And let's assume you're going to take 1,000 rand. I'm going to make this really simple. I'm going to say, don't go hunting for stocks. Don't even go looking for multi-different exchange-traded funds. Pick a top 40. Start there, if it's with your bank or if it's with some product house, and just make that contribution. So you might say, take the 1,000, put 800 rand of that, put 80% of it into that index and let that happen. And then keep 10%. Or maybe they say 20% would be pushing it. I'll say keep 10% and say, how can I take that and allocate that to something that can try and outperform this? Now, we're not going to get wealthy doing this.
What is
but
that
what we are
thing?
Is do is
the,
learn.
Just sorry, Justin. We've got this weird crossover on these wonderful digital lines. I just need to pause you there for a second. We've got this money that's going into an exchange traded fund, into an index. It's going to give us the market performance. But what we want to do is do better than that. And you're saying keep this 10% to become a little bit more adventurous. I want to know what we want to do with that 10% to allow us to try to outperform, to allow us to understand markets better, to feel our way through the complexities, the emotions, the roller coaster that you experience when you do start setting up an independent investment portfolio outside of the hand of professionals. That more with Justin Spencer-Young, who is part of the faculty at Gibbs.
The Money Show.
Investment School.
Now, the problem with averages is they're not particularly exciting, but the nice advantage of an average is that at least if you're applying your 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 rand a month to an investment product, whether it be a unit trust, whether it be a retirement annuity, whether it be an exchange-traded fund, you're in the habit of putting that money away on a regular basis, and it grows, and it will compound over time. And over a 10, 20, 30, 40-year period, if you're lucky enough to have that amount of time, you will see enormous benefits of having started early and having that happen. On the sidelines of that, though, says tonight's headmaster of the investment school, that's Justin Spencer Young at Gibbs, keep a bit aside and try to outperform the market. This isn't just for fun. This is for some real life experience of markets. It's important, he says, because you've got to understand just how tough it is to outperform markets. Can you, however, as a layperson, succeed in outperforming? What strategies, Justin, can we use?
So, Bruce, you've spoken about the age-old saying of time in the market is what gives you these compound returns, and that's what we're going to do with the bulk. That's definitely true. And we're going to do the little piece on the side here that the pros will raise their eyebrows at us and say, no, you shouldn't do that. And we're going to try and time the market. That's hard. But sometimes you've got to get your timing right in order to get a little bit of outperformance. And at the same time, you've got to ask yourself, what's the risk of trying to time the market? But if you've got some cash on the side, if you've got your powder dry, and you can deploy it at the right time, well, then what you can get is the upside of the market after a large, major correction. So that's what I'm looking for. Now, there's some people who say that the markets are going to crash, they're going to crash, they're going to crash, and you must be prepared for that. I'm of the view that I can't predict when this is going to happen, but I can see when markets have gone down by 25, 30, 40% is a lot. But then's the opportunity to say, hey, let's put this little piece on the side in the market now and get the upside after a market correction. Because there's a saying that says markets crash upwards. You might say, well, Justin, that sounds crazy. Of course, they go down first.
Justin, that sounds crazy.
The fastest recovery comes after. Sounds crazy. Markets crash upwards. Are you there, Bruce? I seem to have lost you for a moment.
Now, we have this dreadful thing, and I mean, you are in a flow, and I can't resist occasionally chirping in, but it does then destabilize the signal somewhat. But we'll remember very, very clearly from all of the crises of years past that we can remember, most notably the one of 2020, end of March and into April of 2020, when markets did fall in an absolute heap. And then central banks intervened, they printed more money, and that's come with its own consequences. But from that collapse of the JSE, for example, and other stock markets around the world, we saw not only a recovery, but we also saw then an outperformance by stock markets in the ensuing months all the way through 2020. It turned out to be a spectacular year of catch-up for the JSE, and that's the one you didn't want to miss out on. So absolutely, markets do crash upwards.
That was the one. I was the fool here because I thought it didn't go down enough and I was waiting for more. So I didn't get as much of that as I wish I could. And that's the problem sometimes with this, is that to get the timing perfect at the bottom is near impossible. But, you know, 30% down is not often markets go much further than that. And maybe you got to ride it a little bit and got to have the courage to say, well, this is only 10% of my stash on the side, this is not everything, and therefore I'm going to go with it.
Our psychology, though, our makeup is not designed to catch the falling piano, the falling knife, as they call it in markets. Markets are falling, and we say, no, I'm waiting for a signal that it's over. And markets turn, you say, oh, no, no, it's a dead cat bounce. It's this terrible market term that says the market hits the bottom, and then bounces and then falls back down again. I'm waiting for certainty. Certainty never comes. There is never in the field of human investing history ever been absolute certainty. So I look at this idea of trying to time markets with some skepticism, Justin. I'm going to need some convincing that we should be trying to time markets. I wonder whether or not drip feeding into a fall in markets, whether you miss the bottom or you miss the top, doesn't really matter. You drip feeding this extra money into markets over a period of time isn't a more useful strategy than trying to pick a moment.
Bruce, I think you're spot on. Drip feeding it means you kind of go in slowly, and you can get the average of whatever it is that comes as a result of that. Now, that requires closely watching every day and looking at your money and deciding, should I act, shouldn't I act, and having to do that several times, and very prudent. Now, my experience is that a lot of people don't have the time to be looking at their account every day to say, is this the day to put a little bit more in, or should I wait another day? And then it can often be inactivity. So since we're talking about this small piece on the side, my sense is let's push it in there and let's hold on to it. So I think it does depend on the personality of the individual, whether you can do that, push it in a little bit over a period of time. Far more prudent, definitely good advice. I'm the one who says, you know what, I want to do as little as possible here. I'm quite lazy. I think it's about right. I'm going to go for it now. And then I'm in, and now I'm going to see if my strategy can pay off and pray to whatever God you choose to.
My own biggest regret, and I think it's the biggest regret of many people that I speak to in various personal finance forums on this particular show, is the fact that you didn't capitalize on markets when they were weakest. And it's that overwhelming sense of fear that this is only going to get worse. And somehow we need to overcome that obstacle, that barrier, Justin. And I go back to, it's very boring. But I like boring, and I think boring will make more people wealthy over a long period of time than excitement and taking pot shots at timings of the market. And that is just the consistent 250, 2,500, 25,000, if you're lucky enough, deposits into the market, regardless of what is happening. Doesn't matter whether it's a roaring bull market, you keep throwing your money in. If it's a raging bear market, you keep raging money in. I'm not sure I've been convinced about this market timing strategy. I'll give you 2 minutes to convince me.
No, I'm not going to convince you, Bruce. I'm going to suggest that you're on the money, because what we're talking about here is the bulk of our money is exactly as you say. Your debit order that goes off every month, you've opened the account, you're putting it in, and 90% of your money is in the index. And that is the game. I certainly wouldn't want to try and convince anyone else that there's anything other than that. I'm just suggesting that we're in a time at the moment where the South African market has gone sideways for a long time. The US markets are under pressure. They're down 16% this year. They've gone as far as 25%. Who knows? Maybe they could go down a little bit further again. And the opportunity is present at the moment. If you've got some dry powder to say, can I get the upside of this market? So I'm suggesting we're going to do that for a little 10% of our piece on the side and learn a bit about what it's like to try and time the market. And maybe what you learn is that you couldn't do it and you won't do it again, and that you'll long-term compounded growth strategy is all that you're prepared to pay, all that you're prepared to do. But perhaps through this process, you're going to learn something about yourself. You're going to learn about investing. You're going to learn about markets. And remember, that's the angle that I'm coming from as a teacher in this space, is learn about the environment in which you're investing rather than completely outsourcing this to someone else.
Absolutely. If nothing else, it focuses your attention on your economic and your personal finance reality. You can't sort of sit there at age 60 one day and go, oh, I wish I'd known. Because that must be the most debilitating and one of the most tragic outcomes of a lifetime of work, frankly.
And maybe in 2 years' time, you'll look back and say, oh, man, Justin said the markets were going to crash. And I had that little piece on the side and I didn't. I wish I had. Now, it's not going to get you wealthy, but it's going to certainly help you learn and have a little bit that does better than your entire portfolio. And maybe then you can look at the the professional asset managers and realize their job is really difficult. Trying to outperform the market on a continuous basis.
They get paid very well for it. Very well empathy on that particular front. Yes. Justin, thanks very much indeed. Justin Spencer with us this evening from Gibbs. And if nothing else, I mean, his point on the strategy is absolutely spot on in that you have to be engaged with your investments. You have to be paying attention to what's happening to your investments. If your investments are underperforming the market, you need to know why, and you need to be then actively pursuing the trustees of your pension fund to say, hold on, guys, are you doing your job properly? Are you holding the asset managers to whom you've entrusted my money for my future? Because if you're not doing that, you are potentially robbing yourself in the long term. But ultimately, nobody else is going to suffer for it. Nobody else is going to come and rescue you one day when you're retired and incapable of working and incapable of earning an income anymore. You've got to take responsibility for that yourself now. Thank you, Justin.